Hare Krishna. Today we have a question from Bhakta Kevin. Rather, we have three questions. They're all in the same vein. And he starts off by saying, could you explain what Anuman Praman actually is for my understanding? Praman is proof in any sphere of knowledge where one is trying to acquire knowledge of something, be it science or philosophy or theology or quest for the absolute truth, there has to be a method of proving things or giving relevant evidence. And this is called praman. In Vedic culture, when we talk about trying to understand the absolute truth, which is what the Vedas are about, the Vedas present, then there are three basic divisions of praman, which can be further divided into 10. In other words, there are 10 devotees wanting to know more about this. Look at Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, which is described in detail. And other Vaishnavas have elaborated upon this, as has Srila Prabhupada. These three are Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. The concept of Pratyaksha, in short, is sensory perception. Anuman is logic, inductive, deductive, and Shabda is transcendental sound vibration or scripture. So that's what Anuman is. He says, can you give an example of how we use Anuman Praman in our day-to-day lives to acquire knowledge? And do modern-day scientists and philosophers also use it to gather their knowledge? Yes, of course, we use, for instance, Pratyaksha, of course, means sensory perception. Is that we have faith in our senses and the knowledge that the senses give is actually full and complete. But of course, it's necessarily not. We know that sound vibration, for instance, may be too high or too low for us to perceive, which means that if someone is communicating to us within those frequencies, then we don't hear it, and which means that we don't react to it and think that no one is communicating to us, but we're wrong. In the same way, we also see things only within a certain spectrum, light spectrum, and if we don't see something, then we say, well, it doesn't exist. And that doesn't just mean for our own senses itself, but for the extensions of our senses as well. That's Pratyaksha. As far as Anuman Praman is concerned, one good example of Anuman or induction or presumption of scientists is that they observe how the laws work within our given sphere of existence, within this planet, within this solar system, how the law of gravity works, how magnetism works, how the atoms and the electrons interact. And on the basis of this, they presume that it works the same way everywhere within the material creation. Now that's a real assumption, That's a real presumption. You could just as easily assume that it doesn't work the same way, that the laws of nature change in different places. So that's called anuman, pranam. And that's why it is defective. As far as for endeavoring transcendentalists, well, here's another example. We could see when we want to, when we're going somewhere, and we see that there's smoke on a mountain. The idea that there's a smoke on a mountain, smoke means fire, fire means people. So we think, oh, some people must be living on that other mountain. However, if prior to our coming there, there was actually a lightning storm and lightning started a fire, then our presumption that there are people living on that mountain is completely wrong. So anuman is based upon certain presumptions, and if those presumptions are erroneous, then no matter how good our subsequent logic is, then the end result is also defective. In terms of trying to understand the absolute truth, because that is our real quest. So when we want to understand the absolute truth, one very standard way in which anuman is used to infer the presence of a creator, a person, is the example of the very orderly, systematic workings of the solar system. And I'm sure many listeners have used that same argument, just as Srila Prabhupada has used the argument, just as a watch works in perfect order, but implies that there must be some watchmaker who has made that watch. Similarly, the order of this universe also implies that the Creator himself that there is a Creator who has actually brought such order into effect, and that he is also very orderly. Now, that's true, and that certainly implies the fact that there is some higher force, that there is a creator. On the other hand, if we continue with that argument, if we say, all right, that creator then is the absolute truth, but we know that it isn't Krishna who is the creator of this universe directly, but rather it is Lord Brahma who is the creator of the universe. And even behind Brahma, there is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Mahavishnu and so many expansions of the Lord. And if we get into the very details of Vedic scripture, then we know that Natasya Karyam, that actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, doesn't do anything. He doesn't create universes. He just enjoys. But you can't find that out directly from induction. The logic of studying the symmetry, organization of the universe doesn't automatically make us conclude that the absolute truth is a cowherd boy who's playing his flute and tending cows. So in that sense, it also has its limits. It may not be incorrect. Sometimes it may be correct. Sometimes it may not. Sometimes there may be people living on the other mountain, and that's why there's a fire there. But sometimes it may not be. So it's not perfect, and it's a not complete method for finding out what the nature of the absolute truth is. But what is a perfect method? The perfect method is Shabda. Shabda means transcendental sound vibration, or in short, to hear from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, to hear from the absolute truth. When we hear from the absolute truth, about the absolute truth, then we can get a full and complete information. Of course, someone may argue, well, that's a catch-22 situation. because we want to prove the existence of the absolute truth. And now you're saying that based on the statements of the absolute truth, that's how we can verify the existence of the absolute truth. But no, the meaning is that you can confirm for yourself the statements of Shabda by the very means that they give you in order to confirm. Through sadhana, by practice of sadhana, you can purify your heart and come to the stage of freedom from the influence of the modes of material nature. By learning how to cry from the Supreme Lord according to the statements of Shabda, you can attain your eternal spiritual nature and learn what your eternal relationship is with the Supreme Lord. So all of these things are verifiable by your own personal experience. However, the perfect and complete information and knowledge about all of these things must come through down from the perfect source himself, must come from the Supreme Lord, and that is written down in Shruti and Smriti and Puranas. That is why the Supreme Lord is the ultimate and only authority on himself. And you may know from him as much as he reveals to you. So here when we're talking about now methods of proof, he is the perfect method of proving his own existence. And we need to be the guinea pigs who perform the experiments that he gives upon ourselves in order to ensure that evidence is therefore perfect. So, anyway, but the question was more specifically about Anuman. So logic, inference, I hope that has clarified that point for Bhakta Kevin. And a lot can be read about this in Srila Prabhupada's books and in other books of the Acharyas. This is, I hope, just a summary. Hare Krishna.